Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Trolley Problem Inc. podcast, the audio series based on the game, which is based on the philosophical problem of the same name. I'm Simon Byron, and with me is developer of the game, Samuel Reed Graves. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Simon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm excited for this episode. It was one of the ones which was cancelled due to COVID, and now we've got around to doing it. I'm really up for it.
Absolutely, we have a superstar with us today. It is a shame that we're not in the same room, because I find it impossible not to touch this person whenever
we're not in the same room.
Whenever they're near me,
that's the issue.
He's so cuddly. Anyway, before we get on to introducing him, how are things with you, Sam? The game's out now. This is the first episode we've recorded after the game's launch. So, how are you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic. I'm very, very happy with it. When it comes to all the Twitch stuff and seeing over a million hours have been watched online, seeing sort of bigger streamers play it. I mean, I hadn't opened Twitch ever until probably about a month ago. I think people will be shocked knowing that we finished like the final implementation of Twitch like a week before launch. So finding out who XQC is and then watching XQC play it was great.
You and 79,999 other people watching at the same time. Yeah, it's been amazing, hasn't it, to see such conversations, see so many people enjoying it. I mean, a million hours. Did you ever dream that Trolley Problem would have generated so much content?
No, and the thing is, what I sort of can't really get my head around with that is that that's just on Twitch, where so many of these streamers have then put content onto YouTube afterwards. And it's harder to track, obviously, hours there, but just seeing hundreds of thousands of other people watching it on YouTube, it's just excellent. And the whole point of the game was to start conversations. And I think that has well and truly been achieved.
Good. Well, congratulations. It's been really, really good fun to see the reaction to it. Some people didn't like it, did they? We've been banned in Russia.
And then I put in, if people haven't played the game, I also put in some answers as well so people can see what I answered. And some people don't like me either, Simon.
Exactly. Well, to balance out some of the negativity, let's introduce one of the loveliest man in video games. And he was the loveliest man in computer games before then. It's Charles Cecil, OBE.
Oh, Simon, thank you so much. Oh, but may I correct you on two things? First of all, they were home computer games.
Home computer games. Apologies.
And it's actually an MBE rather than an
OBE. Is it?
I've got the inferior version.
Oh, that was embarrassing. If it was the other way around, that would have looked good.
Wow, no, that's because the campaign for an OBE starts here. No, the truth is, I've got into my mind, I know that I always get it wrong. And so I think, oh no, he is only an MBE, isn't he? And I think, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. If there's justice in the world, it'd be Sir Charles Cecil, the grand old Duke of York. So how are you, Charles? What are you up to at the moment?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks, Simon. And Sam, great to see you again after, what, 12 years? I mean, just fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the fact that the sun is out, that spring is around the corner. I have signed myself for a number of triathlons, which I'm not sure is the wisest thing to do, but, you know, just new things to do.
Right. And what are you up to?
So they're based in New York. Are you
doing... Well, there's one actually that the one I've signed up for is in Castle Howard, which if you were considerably older than you two are, you would remember a television series from the 80s called Brideshead Revisited, which was a fabulously beautiful, beautiful series, and it was actually filmed at Castle Howard. So it's a very iconic stately home.
So my brother actually moved to York probably about 12, 13 years ago. So he's sort of an honorary Yorkshireman. And I've heard of Castle Howard a few times, but I've never been.
No, you should do. The problem, I mean, I've been in York for 30 years, but if you're going to be proper Yorkshire, you have to be born in York. It's born in Yorkshire. So both my children were born in York District Hospital. But, you know, can I tell you a joke before we get going?
Yeah, please.
Great. So you know that, obviously, Yorkshire is considered by all people of Yorkshire to be God's own county.
Yep.
So the joke that my favourite Yorkshire-based joke is an American comes to Europe on an ecclesiastic tour. And, he starts off in Paris and goes to Notre Dame and, you know, there's on the wall, there's a gold telephone that says direct calls to God, €1 million. Goes to Italy, goes to Milan, the great, you know, the fantastic cathedral there. And to cut a long story short, he ends up at York Minster and he's blown away. It's a very beautiful minster, very beautiful cathedral. And on the wall is the same gold telephone, direct, you know, calls to God, 20 pence. And he's absolutely blown away. And he stops one of the priests and says, "It's €1 million everywhere. It's only 20 pence. Why is that?" And the priest replies, "Well, it's a local call from here, lad."
Very good. So you mentioned earlier that you'd not played the game. You mentioned when we were just chatting before we started broadcasting. But we're here
That's
today.
Because I didn't know it was out. And it's had 1 million hours of Twitch viewing. Congratulations. That's absolutely amazing.
Are you saying that you don't watch Twitch, Charles?
No, I'm not saying that.
I thought he'd be subscribed to XQC.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's been out almost a couple of weeks now. Exactly a couple of weeks at the time of recording. And it's a game which asks its players to make a series of difficult choices throughout its evening-sized playtime. You know, you've been around, Charles. What sticky choices have you had to make during your career? Have there been any times where you've been in impossible situations or?
Many, many times. But there are so many. Do you know what? I was talking about this to somebody the other day. The 80s was so corrupt, and a lot of that corruption came through into the 90s. And I've honestly always tried to make morally correct decisions. And broadly, I've managed to do that. And sometimes you get put in impossible positions where actually, and this is, of course, exactly, Sam, what your game is all about, making, you know, having to make choices where actually there isn't a right and a wrong. There's a bad and a worse. But And one of the choices, of course, is the balance between, you know, particularly when you're developing a game and you're running out of money, and, you know, what point do you let go? And that's a very central point. And it's actually quite stressful, particularly when you're writing narrative games, which really live or die often on the production values. So I would say that's probably, you know, the hardest decision. It's always in development of a game, the point at which you, you know, you just have to let go. Inevitably feel that if only you'd been able to just spend another month on it, then it would have been so much better.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. And with narrative games where you sort of live with these characters for so long writing it, make it, like cutting it makes it that much worse. You're not only potentially, you know, having issues with companies and jobs and stuff like that, but you just want the world to meet these people. And then if it's gone, it's gone.
But it's a huge privilege, isn't it, Sam, to be able to, you know, write this incredible piece of software, this entertainment, and for millions of people to play it and experience it and enjoy it. I mean, it's a huge privilege, I think.
Yeah.
And what more would you want to do?
Well, one of the strange things, as I was saying a minute ago with Twitch, is that that's not somewhere I hang out. It's not somewhere I go to sort of consume content. And really, I wanted to bring some of the Twitch stuff in for marketing. Obviously, it's sort of where Yogscast lives, so it helped working with them on that stuff. But after having been through it all and watching people play the game, it's really made me want to do more of it. But I think one of the things what I didn't realize is I love watching people play the content I create. And where I make a lot of single player stuff, I'm not going into people's houses and watching them play. So to be able to do that on Twitch and watch someone enjoy it is excellent. And it's definitely something that I'll be looking into for the next project.
Cool.
Charles, I feel you've got away with that answer. I feel that there's some murkier stuff in your past.
people in the past have come and, you know, offered bribes and things. And, you know, and I'm, you know, very proud to say that, well, not proud, I'm pleased to say that, you know, I've never actually, but that doesn't happen anymore. And, you know, remember when you work with companies like Apple, which we've had the pleasure of doing so, they are so absolutely focused on making sure that there can never be any conflict of interest. And it is so refreshing compared to what was going on in the 90s, which was frankly terrible.
The only time I've ever been offered a bribe was at the Game Developers Conference a few years ago. We were running Marioki, which is the video game karaoke that we do. And I was in the booth queuing up the songs. And my friend Stee was out hosting at the front. And a lady came up to me. And she offered, first of all, some money with the slip in order to skip the queue because we were full up for the rest of the night. So she offered money, and then she offered something else as well. I was astonished. I mean, I took neither. But
what place in the queue did she get?
And that's the only. I mean, you sort of hear about. You know, you talk about the 80s and the 90s, about being only ever once. And it embarrassed me. So, yeah, throughout the series, we've been asking our guests some trolley problem style problems. I just get a sense of who they really are. I think we've got your number, though, Charles. But we will start you off, as we have been with everybody so far, just to get a sense of your levels with the original trolley problem.
So, Charles, you're standing next to a lever and you're seeing a trolley barrel down a track towards five people. If you don't do anything, you'll see the trolley will hit and kill the five people who cannot get off of the tracks. But if you pull the lever, the trolley will change course and go down onto another track where there is only one person standing. Do you let fate decide and let it hit the five people, or do you take action, pulling the lever and murdering one?
Okay, I'm a complete wuss. I would let it kill the five people, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because fate, and Sam, you use the word fate, and that's a very, very good word. And I would have to explain to the relatives of the one person that I'd chosen to kill them. Whereas for the five people, those families would know that fate had decreed that this trolley had hit them and killed their loved ones.
So you're worrying about your self-image more than the lives of five people.
Well, I'm not sure it's self-image. It's the requirement to explain to somebody that actually through my own choice, rather than through my lack of choice, but through my own choice, I have killed some, you know, their loved one.
What if we said to you, Charles, that you didn't have to explain your actions? You didn't have to. If this was just between you and fate.
And my conscience.
and your conscience and that no one else would know, would your decision still be the same?
Well, but that's, you know, that's a very good question, but an unrealistic one, because I guess if you simply were to turn on your heels, get on your bicycle and cycle away into the, you know, into the dusk, then you probably would save five people. But it also depends who those people are. I mean, if it was children, then that would then change the balance as well. I mean, of course, a lot of this comes down to the choices that, you know, that the AIs are going to have to make in cars, which, I mean, probably is the base of the question in the first place. I mean, it is a very, very relevant, which is, which is why these questions are actually so morally interesting, isn't it? Because these are decisions that will be made by AIs in split-second decision.
Well, what's so lovely about that, Charles, is that for the listener, Charles doesn't know the questions he's getting. All of his questions are going to be around AI and driverless cars.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's perfect. Now that you've shown an insight into it, Charles, we'll listen to every word. This is going to be groundbreaking AI conversation.
Ooh, exciting.
So what we've discovered here then is that it's Charles's lack of having to own up to what he'd done, which has condemned the five to their fate. There haven't been that many that have chosen to let the trolley sail past so far. So I think you're an outlier in that sense, Charles. Sam's keeping a tally of the number of people that you've killed, and at the moment you're joint top of the leaderboard with five. Congratulations. What was your old high school name on the arcade cabinets?
Oh, gosh.
Maybe we could put that there.
You know, if only I'd been in a wonderful position of actually having to enter a high school.
Oh.
You know, I love those early games, but...
Charles is a master at dodging all these questions. It was obviously just exactly. Something like arse or something like that.
Well,
just the rudest thing at the top of the leaderboard.
What it'll be now is just MBE.
No, actually, do you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I'm going back, you know, to the days of Galaxians and Space Invaders in the early 80s. And my parents actually gave me Anthony as my middle name. So it's CAC, which was pointed out at school as CAC. So, well, I know. So actually, when I entered my name, my initials, it was CCC, because I didn't want to, you know, I was always very aware that CAC would be, I'd be teased if I was to enter that.
Well, there we go then. Score so far, 5 CCC. let's try you now with your own. So everybody's been asked that question, Charles, and you'll be able to listen back and compare your reasons with everyone else. But these questions are unique to you. So let's hand over to Sam for the first of Charles Cecil's trolley problem style questions.
Okay. So as I said earlier, these will be based around AI and driverless cars. So the first problem is the tunnel problem. A self-driving car is traveling along a single lane mountain road and is fast approaching a narrow tunnel. The car has two passengers and a child runs across the road but trips, blocking the tunnel entrance. Should the AI car hit and kill the child or swerve off the cliff, killing both passengers?
I have listened to previous podcasts. I don't think those questions. I think I'm getting the tough questions. Oh, golly, which should they do?
Well, so the important thing here, Charles, is that you're not going to have to fess up to anything, are you?
No, I know. No. That which is great. I mean, obviously, the fact that it's a child means an awful lot. I think you have to send the two over the cliff. I'm sorry, but they're the ones. They're the ones in the car. They're the ones that are causing the danger through the speed that they're driving at.
Do you not think that the child in the middle of the road is not causing the danger? Because remember, this is an AI car, Charles. They're not driving. They're just sitting passengers. This is an AI car driving.
That's true. They're driving, the AI is driving too fast because they told them to.
It's driving exactly how you code it as the coder. So you've obviously made this decision. It will do whatever you as the coder say. Should it fly off the cliff or should it run down this poor little child?
No, actually, do you know what? I think it should run down the child. I'm sorry. I think it should run down the child. Because you're right. The child shouldn't be in the middle of the road. And, you know, you've got two deaths against one death. Child is more important than an adult, but there are two adults. And, you know, and it's bad parenting. Bad parenting. You know, that child shouldn't have been running across the road. And if it was running across the road, it shouldn't have tripped over.
Well, hopefully the people in the car aren't the parents. That's all.
Well, indeed.
Yeah. Be a plot twist. Okay, so you've opted for the lower score with question number one. Is that because you were feeling guilty about the death toll you were causing?
Well, you did point out, Simon, that there are very few people that start off with five deaths. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to sort of whittle that down to a more manageable number.
Okay, and then obviously in the equation of human life, two adults is better than one child.
Well, no, not at all. No. The circumstances, I guess, are key, and I don't know. They're really difficult, these questions.
I think we could sew that into a pillow, Simon. Two childs equals one. One child equals two adults.
What's a quadratic equation, isn't it?
Okay, so the next problem, Charles, you'll be happy to know, no one's going to die, but potentially someone may end up in prison. So the technology in these cars is amazing. We know where everyone is at all times, and passengers just have to use an app to call the car to them, to pick them up and take them wherever they want to go. The AI is so smart, it can even have conversations with the passengers while they travel to wherever they want to go. So now here's the question. A man is on trial and police believe he committed murder. Allegedly, the AI's mic recorded a private conversation where the man confesses. The problem is users don't know the AI's mic is always recording. The defendant denies access to their files. Do you bypass security and invade their privacy to get the files? Or do you think that is unethical and try to find other ways to prosecute them?
No, I absolutely would have no moral problems with just getting the recording. It is kind of interesting, and it's probably a generation thing, but certainly, and it's also a difference between the Europeans and the Brits. Generally, the Brits are not worried, not nearly as worried as Europeans are about, when I say Europeans, of course, I mean mainland Europeans, because we are all Europeans. But, I'm super relaxed about, if there's an important evidence that goes to court, I'd be super relaxed about invading the privacy and taking the recording and using it.
So you wouldn't mind if we looked through your internet history? Is
that not if I was on trial for whatever, and you were looking for my internet history that related specifically to what I was on trial for. Not at all.
So this is actually based off a real world scenario which happened a few years ago, where I don't know the case in and out, so I can't sort of talk about it at length. But there was someone who was suspected of terrorist activity. And yeah. They needed to open up their iPhone to get some messages off of it. And then they refused access. And the FBI went to Apple to try and get them to unlock their phone. And Apple said that they could do it, but it was a dangerous precedent, so they wouldn't.
Absolutely. But that's a slightly different question then, because, and I remember that very well, and I think it's fascinating, but that is the manufacturer specifically doing it. And of course, their point is that once they do it once, then they can do it. Although, you know, you probably know about the Israeli software that is used to hack. And it's been absolutely phenomenal in that if you can get it onto diplomats and politicians' phones, you really can hack everything that they do.
Is that Pegasus? Is that what
Pegasus? Called? Thank you. Yes. So if you'd asked the question as the manufacturer, as Apple, I think that would have been a harder question to answer. But it is, it's fascinating. It went right to the top, didn't it? In terms of the decision-making, because it's such an important corporate decision to make. I mean, frankly, I think I probably would have said the same thing. As in, if I'd been Apple, I think I would be prepared to give the information. But thankfully, you didn't ask me that.
Would you continue to ride in such a taxi, Charles, knowing that it was listening and recording and that somebody could ask to hear what you were saying privately? Would you continue to use that brand of cab, do you think?
Do you know what, Simon? I'm going to answer this slightly differently. I'm so pleased that when I was young, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have things that would record us forever because, you know, when you're young, you say stupid things. I mean, it's just the way you are. It's part of growing up. And it really worries me that so much, you know, for young people now, you know, the history of the mistakes and the stupid things they say are available. And I'm just so glad that for me, the stupid things that I said just will never, ever come to light because, you know, they're lost. So basically, to answer your question, Simon, I mean, even when, and I really admire you for the outrageous things that you post online, and you know the amount of swearing, and you know Triforce, you know the Triforce, it's still out there.
Is it now?
It is. I have copies, as you know, of The Filthy Truth, which was really quite extraordinary in its day.
I was just going to point out, I had nothing to do with that, in case Sam's not heard of it. there was a gossip website about the games industry in the very, very early days of the internet. And Charles has recently shown me some of his archives. And crikey, yeah, I can't imagine. Are you the only person with those archives then, or...?
I suspect I probably am. Yeah, oh, wow. I suspect that I probably am.
Well, there you go. Don't get into the Wayback Machine. So the Wayback Machine, where you can go through and look through history. I could probably look it up for you now, Simon, if you want. We could post it along with the podcast.
it's pretty raw, isn't it? It's pretty
raw.
I'll tell you what. Simon, if you could forward Sam the links that I sent. I don't have any of the images. I've only got the text. But the text is pretty raw. But do you know, I've forgotten the question. Oh, would I speak? Yeah. So these days, I anything that I send over the, you know, in emails and things, I write on the basis that it could become public. And so if I knew that I was being recorded, then if I knew I was being recorded, obviously I wouldn't care because I wouldn't say stuff that I was worried about being made public. If I didn't know it was being, well, but that's the question. If you didn't know, then obviously you'd behave differently. But yeah, it wouldn't worry me if I knew that I was being recorded because I would just be careful in what I said.
Good stuff. Okay. I think with that in mind, no one's been harmed in that question. So should we move on to question number three?
Yeah. So question number three is the social problem. And this is about really social networks, and I think it's down to you if you think these people are being harmed or not. So, if we were to have driverless cars, in theory, they could be free with advertising. So effectively a free taxi service and ads play while people ride in these cabs. So users get shown ads while they travel for free in driverless taxis. We, as the company making them, would get paid by the marketing agencies, which would gradually change people's behaviours over time through constant commercials. The users would be our product, not the driverless cars. Do you think that it would be ethical to have these driverless cars which show adverts constantly to users?
Absolutely, particularly if you give people the choice. I mean, as you've said, you know, if you don't pay, then you are the product, and I think you just have to accept that, don't you? And that's that is the world in the 21st century.
Do you think the common man on the street who uses Facebook and Instagram and Twitter understands that these adverts are targeted towards them, and in theory they could change their behaviour with things like voting, or with just voting with the money in their wallets?
Well, I would turn it on its head. Do you remember when it was so exciting because Amazon used to send you targeted emails, and you go, how do they know? How do they know that that's what I want? And I think that the common man or woman on the street is actually delighted that that those ads are targeted. Now,
why,
obviously,
so why was I getting all those emails about penis enlargement pills? How did they know, Charles? How did they know?
Well, I think you posted about it on these game message boards.
But the morality though, Sam, is comes when can you change the way they vote? And I would say that actually much more worrying is the social media and the echo chambers that people go into, and the ability to then feed them news. So that is different. I think advertising is very benign in comparison to feeding people news that they believe to be absolute, when obviously it's been very, very heavily curated. Or it could just be, you know, like in a lot of what Donald Trump said, it could just be simply untrue. But even if it's true, providing people with curated news is also pretty odious as well, because then they only hear what they want to hear. So I think you've asked me two very easy questions there. I have absolutely no concerns at all about people being fed adverts, targeted adverts, because you know as you said and I said earlier, they are the product. They just accept that, and I don't think people mind generally.
Well, I'm sorry for the easy questions, listener. I'll try harder next time, I'm sure.
Well, no. Compared to those early ones, which were very difficult.
Well, thank you for taking the time to consider those, Charles. We've given you what is that? The third week in the game, Sam? Was that the?
It's roughly in there. Yeah. So there's a big portion of the game which looks at AI and also company ethics.
That's really interesting as well. Now, I'm really looking forward to it, Sam. I've been kind of keeping an eye out, and I can't believe that I missed it.
Well, to be fair, Charles, you did get COVID. So, you know, that's a fairly decent reason, I would say. I was going to call it an excuse, but of course it's not that.
Good. Unfortunately, that meant that I couldn't see you.
Well, maybe for the...
You were going to come up to this part of the world, weren't you?
We were. Maybe when we make the Trolley Problem 2 featuring some hard Charles Cecil questions, we can come up and grill you again.
We could go to Castle Howard. There you go. That just to, you know.
I'll be going to Castle Howard for this year's triathlon, because I can think of nothing more than the juxtaposition of such beautiful architecture and a huffing puffing Charles going around.
Simon, you need to go back with Jonathan to Scarborough, because that was a fun day out, wasn't it?
Indeed it was. I was in Scarborough last year, Sam, and Charles cycled from York to Scarborough and then immediately took his top off and spoke to our wives. I'm just taking my top off. Do you want an idea? You want to really get into the mind, get a glimpse behind the scenes of this man's ethics and morals? He'll take his top off in front of your wives and make you feel inferior. Charles, a pleasure as ever to speak to you. I love you. I wish we could cuddle you now.
Thank you so much. And Sam, good luck with the game and congratulations on what you've achieved so far. And I'm going to go straight on to downloading it now. And, apologies that I didn't play it in advance, because that's very remiss of me.
No, thank you so much. And it does genuinely mean a lot, because, honestly, you were one of my idols growing up. It was really one of the reasons I wanted to get into games, and especially narrative-driven games, was Broken Sword. And actually, I would say, just as a final note, my mum never was really into games, but would read things like Games Master back to front to know what I was doing, because she's just an excellent mum. But the one game which absolutely consumed her for 2 days of a holiday in Cornwall was when Broken Sword was ported to the Game Boy Color, and she absolutely loved it. So yeah, thank you a lot, Charles. You're excellent.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
I tell you what, it's a good job we are recording this remotely, because I'd begin to feel like a gooseberry now if we weren't doing this in a room. Right, thank you. Let's wrap this up. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you found that enjoyable and insightful. The game, as we say, is out now. It's available on Steam, on Epic, and all other digital PC storefronts for you to try and hopefully enjoy. If you do enjoy it, please leave a review. Sam, this is the last show that we're recording, we think, although we might do a bonus one. Is that right?
Let's see.
But we believe this isn't going to be the last episode, so there should be one more to come after this. So thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the game, and we'll hopefully see you soon. Goodbye.